Back in the days whenever the telegraph was the fastest method of long-distance communication, a young man applied for a job as a Morse code operator. Answering an ad in the newspaper, he went to the office that was listed, and when he arrived there, he entered a large, busy office that was filled with noise and clatter, and part of the noise was the sound of the telegraph in the background. A sign in the receptionist's desk instructed job applicants to fill out a form and to wait there until they were summoned to enter the inner office. Well, the guy, whenever he went in and he read the sign, filled out the form that he needed to, and he then went over to sit down with seven others who had clearly applied for the same job. But after a few minutes, the young man stood up on his own and made his way from the waiting room into the inner office. Well, the other seven looked at him, and they wondered what on earth he was doing. And then they began to mutter among themselves, and part of that was saying, well, that guy's going to end up in big trouble, isn't he? He's got up and he's gone on ahead into the inner office before any of us were invited in. He's going to end up in big trouble, and he's certainly not going to get the job. But within a few minutes, the employer came out, and he said these words, "Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has been filled. This young man has got the job. All the time you were sitting there, I was sending out the message on the telegraph. If you understand this message, then come on in. The job is yours." Just like that office, we live in a world that is full of busyness and clatter and all sorts of noises and all sorts of things that are clamoring for our attention. And it strikes me that today so many people are distracted by the noise, and even Christians are distracted by the noise so much that they no longer hear the Lord's still, small voice. We have selective hearing. You understand what selective hearing is, men, don't you? That's what your wives express every time you talk. We have selective hearing at times, and I think as Christians, we can even have selective hearing, and we can choose to hear the things that we want to hear the Lord say, but not to hear the things that would involve sacrifice or discomfort or hardship in coming to us. And yet all the while, the Lord wants us to hear His voice. How do I know the Lord wants us to hear His voice? Well, we've been looking at the seven churches in Revelation. Now, we're not going to look at them afresh tonight. But I don't know if you're aware there is one phrase that occurred with each of those seven churches. Now, there's a number of phrases that were common to them. For example, "to the angel at." We read that a lot in the seven churches of Revelation. The word "but" occurred in several of those churches. "I commend you for this, but I do not commend you for that." Or the word "forasmuch" appeared in a number of the different churches of Revelation. "Forasmuch as you have done this." But there is one phrase that stands out above the rest that occurs with each of the seven churches in Revelation, and it is this one. "He that has an ear, let him hear." Aren't I right? All seven churches have that same phrase. "He that has an ear, let him hear." You see, unfortunately, it was not assumed that simply because they were a church that they were listening to the Lord. And the same thing cannot be assumed today, that just because someone is a Christian, that they are actually listening to what the Lord has to say to them. Do you know it is possible for us to put on a pretense of listening, but not really to hear? I get caught out for it all the time. Hazel will be talking away about something. I may be sitting at the desk and I'm writing something and looking at her at the same time. And after a few minutes, she'll say, What did I just say? That's the stage my heart sinks. And I'll say to her, I heard every word that you said, hoping that that'll get past what she's just asked me. What did I just say? She'll come back at me. And I'll mumble something off. She'll say, I knew you weren't listening. And I'll say, well, what bit did I miss? About three quarters of it, she'll reply. And it is possible for us to put on a pretense that we're hearing, but not actually really to be truly listening to what the Lord has to say. And one of the problems with the church was that they were claiming to listen to the Lord, but they weren't really hearing. And neither could it be assumed that because the church listened once, that it was still listening. You know, it is possible that as you listen to someone for a long time, that you stop actually hearing what they say. You ever find that? You can listen to someone for a long time and you begin to miss more and more bits of the conversation. And I must say, after 15 years, I was in Bucknow 15 years, after 15 years, I did wonder at times, was I so much a part of the furniture that they no longer really heard what I was saying to them? You know, it's not actually about what I'm saying. That's not what we need to be tuning into, but it's what the Lord is saying. And we need to be listening to what God has to say. You know, God knew that his people would have a struggle hearing him. We find this all the way through the Bible. It's as though the Lord is saying time and again, listen to me, listen to me. He says repeatedly in Deuteronomy, hear, O Israel. And he usually follows it up with the phrase, give ear or hearken unto me. And then in the New Testament, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And then in Revelation, of course, we get that phrase, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And it is clear that God wants to bless his people, but that he needs them to listen first that they may understand his will for their lives. So here's the question I have for you tonight. How do we listen to God? Or how can we make sure that we're listening to God? Well, now I want to turn you to the passage we looked at, 1 Samuel chapter 3, because we find Samuel having to listen to what God says here. And the first thing that I believe helps us to listen to God is being in the same room as God. Being in the same room as God. Sometimes in our Bible readings, it's easy for us to read a passage we're familiar to and simply to pass over it and pass on to the next verse without picking out all the bits and pieces that are there. Look with me at verse 3. We read here, before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. Now, God could simply have said in this passage, Samuel was sleeping, and then I spoke to him and said, but that's not what it said. It doesn't just tell us what Samuel was doing here, but it also tells us where he was when he was doing it. And I believe that there is a special relevance in the fact that we find Samuel here in the tabernacle as close to the Ark of the Covenant as he possibly could be. God wanted us to see that whenever Samuel heard God's voice, that he was resting, as it were, as close to God in a physical sense as he possibly could. The Ark of the Covenant was a symbol of the Lord's presence with his people. Whenever they went to battle, they took the Ark of the Covenant with them. Whenever they traveled about, they set up the tabernacle and they put the Ark of the Covenant in the center of the tabernacle. Whenever they constructed the temple, they put the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies was so special that the high priest could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement. And whenever he went in, he wore robes that had little bells around the bottom of the robes. And the reason for that was that if the bells started jingling, stopped jingling, then it was a sign that the high priest had died. And what could they do in that situation? Because nobody else could go into the Holy of Holies or else they would die. So what they did was they tied a rope around the high priest's leg. This is true. So that whenever he went into the Holy of Holies, if he decided to breathe his last, to shuffle off his mortal coil in the Holy of Holies, well, at least they could pull him out with the use of the rope. That was very smart. None of you get the idea that you're going to do that with me. You'll know if I've carked it because I won't be eating. That's usually how people know. The Holy of Holies was a special place. It was a place where the children of Israel believed that the Lord was present with them. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent in two. And what it meant was that through Jesus Christ, we now all have ready access unto the Father. We don't need a high priest to go in for us because Jesus came as the ultimate high priest. He is our mediator tonight, and we no longer need to go to the temple. But we can hear from God at any time, as long as we're in the same room as God. I'm sure you know what it's like to try to hold down a conversation with somebody who's constantly in the move. Maybe us husbands feel a little bit like that. We go home and the wife is doing the dishes and the laundry and brushing the floor all at the same time. I do not know how they manage to do it, but they do. They can clearly multitask. We men just cannot do that. Sure, we can't. Just for us to drive the car and breathe at the same time is a bit of a job for us men. But the ladies are good at the multitasking. And we go in and we want to say something to them, but they're doing 10 things at once. And we just want to go and sort of nail their feet to the floor in order that we can tell them whatever we need to tell them. Or it's a little bit like somebody who's phoning you while they're driving down the road in the car. Have you ever had the frustration of one of those calls? And they go in and out of reception, and you're trying to get something across, and you've said whatever it was, and then about 2 minutes later, they say, "What was that you said?" And you say, "Well, what bit did you get to?" And you discover it was about 3 sentences back, was as far as they got. And it's so frustrating. And I can't help thinking that that's a little bit like how we are with the Lord, that at times it's as though we're not even in the same room as the Lord. Here's what James says in James 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. If you want to hear God's voice, there is no shortcut to this. There is no quick fix to this, but you need to spend time with the Lord. You need to be getting close to the Lord. And I say this particularly to you new communicants. You need to be spending time with God. The best way in which to do this is to take God's word every day, spend time with the Lord in prayer, join together with God's people in fellowship. These are the old ways of doing it, and in this case, definitely the old ways are the best. And if you want to hear God's voice for you in your life, you've got to draw near to God. You need to be in the same room as God. You with me? Yeah. Because here's the next thing. If we want to hear God's voice, not only do we need to be in the same room as God, but we need to be in the same frequency as God. Now look, when I say this next thing here, I don't say it to you to make you jealous, okay? But it just is a fact that minis are the best cars. And one of the astounding features of my Mini is that I have a DAB radio. Do any of you know what that is? You do? Old Volkswagen's Gareth wouldn't even have that, I understand. But I have a DAB radio in my car. Now, the fact that for 2 or 3 days after I got it, I still was searching to see where I could put the compact disc into it, And by the way, there isn't a CD player in my car anymore, and now it's got a memory. My car has more memory than I have. That's not hard. But it has a DAB radio, and it is absolutely terrific. I love it. And the two stations that I love to listen to the most are Smooth Extra. See, that goes with me, Smooth. Smooth Extra or Magic. See, I like that one. Just even saying it, Magic, sounds good. And this calms my driving right down. No idea. Until I come to Brisshane. This is why I moved from Bucknell, by the way, because Brisshane doesn't get DAB radio at all. I was for writing to my local MLA before I came here because, sorry, that's not Philip. It was Paul Frew. I was writing to him to ask for him to put up an antenna just so that I could get DAB radio driving through Brisshane. But the Lord called me here in the meantime. So, Philip, you're glad to know you can get DAB here. Absolutely terrific. But anyway, here's the thing. This is where I really make you jealous. If you do not have DAB radio in your car, you can't listen to Smooth Extra. It's a hard life, isn't it? And I love it. It's brilliant. It gets me to thinking, how do we hear God? We need to be in the same frequency as God. Sometimes listening to God can be extremely inconvenient. When he chooses to change our frequency in life, whenever he chooses to change the way that we do things, but he wants us to make sure that we make him a priority in our lives. And sometimes that will mean leaving our comfort zones to do whatever it is that the Lord requires of us. Now look with me at verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. He arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you, you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And what we're finding here is that Eli is saying, you need to tune into the Lord. The Lord's speaking to you, Samuel, and you need to tune in to what he is saying. Now, God wasn't speaking to Samuel here in the middle of the day. This wasn't at the time whenever Samuel would be most alert and up for a chat, but it was in the middle of the night, possibly at 2 or 3 in the morning. You know, God often calls us to do things that don't fit our schedule, don't fit our agenda, and don't fit our ideas of what we want to see done. I can remember as a teenager having a sense of God's call upon my life and thinking, isn't this great? I'll head off as a missionary to Timbuktu. And I thought that would be absolutely terrific. The one thing I was certain that I didn't want to do was to become a minister. I would have done anything else but be a minister because I watched what it was like for my dad, and I didn't want it. And I think the Lord, I know that the Lord saw my concern about this, and he called me into the ministry anyway. He took me very much out of my comfort zone. Now, I don't know what it is the Lord may want you to do. I do say to the new communicants tonight, the Lord certainly hasn't saved you so that you'd be stuck, but he has saved you so that you'd be serving. And we certainly want to encourage you to be serving the Lord here in this congregation, for you to be seeking for opportunities to be active for him here. And if you don't approach us for those things, we'll be knocking down your door to see how you're going to serve the Lord. I believe Jesus gives us an example of how big a nuisance his will for our lives can be. And I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6 and verse 27. Luke 6, verse 27. Even notice how it starts off here. But I say to you who hear. Sorry, I'm reading out of the New King James here. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. You see, Jesus here is saying, hear what the Lord wants you to do. Listen to how he wants you to live your life. If you want to be close to the Lord, if you want to be in the same frequency as God, this is how you need to live. Not only to love those who love you, but to love your enemies. Not just to give to those who will benefit you back in return, but to give to those who cannot ever repay you. Not just to show grace to those who will appreciate you, but to show grace to all. Here he says that we are to love our enemies, give to thieves, and turn the other cheek. This is God's frequency. And we need to dial our lives into such radical thinking if we hope to be able to hear God's voice. Do you know, we can choose to hear some things and not to hear others. The story is told of a Native American who was visiting a friend in New York one time. And it was about lunchtime as they walked down one of the busiest streets in New York center. The Native American suddenly stopped and he said, I can hear a cricket. His friend says, you got to be kidding. How could you possibly hear a cricket here? The place is absolutely full of people. There is noise from cars and buses and lorries and people talking and shops and everything else. How could you hear a cricket? Just at that, the Native American walked over to a plant pot at the side of the pathway. And he lifted up a cricket in his hand. His friend was amazed. How did you do that? You must have supersonic hearing that you were able to hear that cricket. The man says, my ears are no different to yours. It all depends on what you're listening for. At that point, he took coins out of his pocket and he threw the coins down on the street. And suddenly everybody who was walking by who didn't hear the cricket stopped in their tracks and turned round and they looked at the money that had fallen in the street. Do you see what I mean? Said the Native American. It all depends on what you're listening for. What are you tuned into in life? Are you tuned into your work responsibilities? Are you tuned into your family and friends? Are you tuned into a love of wealth or comfort? Or are you tuned into the Lord? Are you listening to hear what he has to say? We need to be in the same room as God. We need to be in the same frequency as God. And it needs to be for the same purpose as God. From verse 11 on, we see the Lord set out his agenda to Samuel. Some of it is positive and encouraging. Some of it, particularly relating to Eli, is extremely sad and disappointing, where the Lord has said to Samuel and through Samuel to Eli that his sons are going to be put to death because of their wickedness. But some of the news that Samuel receives causes his ears to tingle. We read about this in verse 11. Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." Have your ears ever tingled? I'm not sure exactly how that feels, but I'm guessing what it means is that our ears are excited to hear something. Have you ever had that? Maybe somebody in your family who's about to have a baby. And the phone rings. And your ears are already tingling as the phone rings. And you think to yourself of the news that you're going to hear. And then they tell them the news that the little baby has been born. If it's a little girl, it's maybe like it was when I remember my brother phoning me whenever my niece was born. And whenever he phoned, he says another shopper has been born. And our ears were tingling just to hear the good news. Well, this is what it was like for Samuel. He heard the word of the Lord, and his ears were tingling. Do your ears tingle? You know what I mean? Not physically, but spiritually. When you pick up the scriptures in the morning, and God speaks to you through his word, do your spiritual ears tingle? When we gather together like this and the Lord speaks to you, perhaps through me, taking my words and using them and covering all the words out that shouldn't be said, do your ears tingle? Does it thrill your heart? Maybe whenever a fellow believer comes up to you and they share something with you about what the Lord has been doing in their lives, do your ears tingle? Does it thrill your heart? Oh, how it should. How do we hear God speak to us? Well, we find that God speaks to different people in different ways in the scriptures. For Moses, he spoke to him at the burning bush. For the people who were there at the baptism of Jesus, it was a loud voice from the sky. For Paul, as he made his way along that road towards Damascus, well, there's the bright light, and then the Lord spoke to him clearly. He has no need to speak to us in those ways today. We have the completed canon of Scripture. So how does God speak to us? Well, he speaks to us through his servants. That's my primary role within this congregation. I am here to proclaim God's word, God's truth. That is my primary role. There's plenty of other things that I'll do while I'm here, but that's my main task. God speaks through his word. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And we can't get the benefit of this by speed reading the scriptures. You may speed read umpteen other things, but do not speed read the scriptures. You need to spend time in the word of God. And there's no quick fix or easy way to do this. You simply need to spend time with God's word. So God speaks through his servants, he speaks through his word, and he speaks through the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse 16 says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." The Holy Spirit is there to guide us in paths of righteousness, to help us apply the scriptures to our lives. He won't lead us into error. He won't tell us anything that is contrary to the word of God. He will enable us to do the things that are for God's glory. And he will strengthen us in our stand against the evil one. Over and over again, in the seven letters to the churches in Revelation, the Lord says, "He that has an ear, let him hear." In other words, if there's lessons to be learned, we're not to brush them under the carpet. If the Lord says we're to stand strong in persecution, let's do it. If he tells us that we're sleeping almost to the point of death, Let's heed his voice. It's time to recommit our lives. If he tells us that we are lukewarm and he wants to spit us out of his mouth, let's make sure that we get nearer the fire. He that has an ear, let him hear. What has the Lord been saying to you? What has he been challenging you about in your life? Will you heed his voice? Will you make the changes that he requires? Will you serve him in the way that he wishes? Are you listening? Maybe it's time to clean your ears out. I was in the chemist a week ago. I often wondered if I needed my ears cleaned out, and I thought, I'll do it anyway. And I got this solution of stuff. You got to stick your head like that. You put it in and you squeeze it. You're supposed to put 5 drops in each ear. I couldn't see the drops because the thing was right in my ear. Squeezed it in, turned my head that way, squeezed it in there, and the stuff came out that ear there as I was putting it in that side. As a result of it, all I could hear was going on in my ears for at least a day after I squeezed it in, and I can't say that it did me any good at all. It should have, or at least I think it should have. But I wonder, spiritually speaking, do you need to come back to the Lord tonight and ask him to clean your ears out so that you can hear what he has to say? He that has an ear, let him hear. Let us hear from the Lord. Is there sin he has to challenge you about since the last time you sat around the Lord's table? Is there something in your life that's far away from the Lord? Tonight's an opportunity to recommit and rededicate and clean your ears out so you can hear what the Lord has to say. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. We know that at times it will hurt us. We know that at times it will be painful for us. But Lord, we thank you for the rebuke that comes from your word. We thank you for the challenge that it brings us. We thank you for the encouragement that comes along the way. We thank you for its guidance. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to clean our ears out, that we may hear what you have to say to us. So apply your truth to our lives tonight. Help us to live according to it, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.